We're going to look this evening at Job chapter 16 and verse 22, where Job says, "When a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return." Or, "When a few years are finished, I shall go on the journey of no return." I wonder whether you've got any journeys planned for the new year. Business trips, maybe, to the States, a holiday in Spain, or Wales, Scotland, a mission trip to Sri Lanka or India. This evening I want to speak about a journey which we must all take one day. A journey 1,000 times more momentous than a journey to the States. A journey which is getting nearer and nearer every day. It's mentioned here in Job 16, verse 22. "When a few years are finished, I shall go on the journey of no return." We may not be as sick as Job was. We may not be suffering as much as Job was. But one day, we'll have to go on that journey on no return. The years are slipping by at an alarming rate. It hardly seems 5 minutes since we began 2014. And now that year is finished, and we're beginning in 2015. The years seem to fly by, and the older you get, you will find, the faster they seem to go. It won't be long before we come to the end of our lives and we'll go on that journey of no return that Job speaks about. That is not being morbid, that is being realistic. So often preachers of God's word are accused of being out of touch with reality. But there is nothing more real than this, that one day we've all got to die and go on a journey out into eternity, and none of us knows when that day will be. Surely then it is the essence of wisdom to ask ourselves, what will happen then? When our years here on earth finally end and we die, what then? Many people never really face up to that question. They would rather do anything than think about the end of life. A few years ago, I was walking through Reading, and a woman I'd never met stopped me. And she was very angry with me. She said, "I was at a funeral service at your church last week. It was a nice service until you said that one day we've all got to die. I didn't like that. You shouldn't have said that. I was very angry for you saying that. I went out and had a drink or two to try and forget what you said, that one day we've all got to die." Poor woman. It's the one thing we can all be certain about, that one day we've got to go on a journey out into eternity. So it's the essence of wisdom, isn't it, to think about that, this journey. Let's do some thinking this evening by looking at these words in Job 16, verse 22. Job was a thoughtful, serious, sober-minded man. And he tells us that when we die, we go on a journey of no return. Death isn't the end, you see. Atheists and humanists and many others believe that death is the end of everything, the terminus, the end of the line. Their philosophy of life is, let us eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's it. Curtains. Finished. Done with. But that is not the case. Death is not the end. The funeral service is not the finale. We've got to go on a journey to meet with God, to face Him in judgment. The whole Bible, from cover to cover, makes it clear that death is not the end. When we die, we go on a journey. Our bodies are laid to rest in the grave, but our souls, our essential personalities, go on a journey. Let's ask some questions about that. First of all, what will be the destination? Every journey has a destination. What will be at the end of this final journey? Well, it all depends on whether we're Christian believers or unbelievers. Take believers first. What will be their destination when they make this journey at the end of life? The teaching of the Bible is very clear. When a Christian dies, his soul, her soul, goes on immediately to be with the Lord in the heavenly kingdom. When Christians die, their bodies are laid to rest in the grave, but their souls go on immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. They do not go to purgatory to be further refined. The moment the Christian dies, his or her soul is made perfect in an instant, and they go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, you remember, said to the dying penitent thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The moment you die, you'll be with me in paradise. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in Philippians 1, verse 23. "I have a desire," he says, "to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." For the Christian, to depart this life is to be with Christ in heaven. You get the same teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Christian believers die, their bodies are laid in the grave to rest a while, but their essential beings, their souls, go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ there in heaven. And eventually, when the end of the world comes and Christ returns to this world, their bodies will be raised from the grave, perfect, and reunited with their souls, and forever and forever and forever, they will live soul and body in Christ's eternal kingdom. Are you a Christian? Are you trusting in Christ for your salvation? When you die, go on a journey, and your journey will be to a glorious, wonderful destination, to be with Christ in heaven. Our Christian friends and loved ones who've died are already with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. My destination in a few weeks' time will be a place called Yangon in Myanmar. A large city, an amazing city in many ways. They've got there a pagoda overlaid with 30 tons of pure gold. All the people around the pagoda are living in absolute poverty. But the Buddhist temple is coated with 30 tons of gold. A great city, a large city, a wonderful city in many ways. But a city of great poverty, a city of great sin. But this destination which we're going to as Christians is a perfect, glorious realm. Nothing sinful, no suffering, no pain. No trials, no tribulations, no anguish, no weeping. Everything will be absolutely perfect. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. The King there in his beauty, without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though 7 deaths lay between. That was Job's great comfort, you see. There he was suffering. This terrible pain, and the loss of his family, and the loss of his possessions. Suffering terribly, but this was his hope. in a few years, I'm going on a journey, and it will be a journey to see my Redeemer and to be with him forever and forever. What about the non-Christian? What about the unbeliever? What will be his destination when he takes this journey at the end of life? There are many people who are confused and muddled about that. There are some, for instance, who tell us quite adamantly that unbelievers, as well as believers, will all be in heaven, will all journey to heaven when they die. They tell us that all roads lead to heaven eventually. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can be a Christian, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Hindu, you can be a Muslim, you can be an atheist, you can be an agnostic. Doesn't matter. All roads will lead to heaven. That's the thinking behind these festival of faiths, which are held in Westminster Abbey. That all journeys will eventually lead to heaven. But it's a lie. We must go by what God says in his word. And all roads do not lead to heaven. Imagine when I go to a Heathrow in about a fortnight's time, I go to the man at the information desk and tell me, please, which flight to Yangon via Bangkok? Which flight? Which departure gate? And the man at the desk says to me, doesn't matter. Go to any gate you like. All flights are going to Yangon. Doesn't matter. Anyone will do. I would say to my friend, you're drunk or you're mad. Or you're deceiving me deceitfully. It's madness, isn't it? Yet people say that all roads lead eventually to heaven. It is a lie. So what is the destination of the unbeliever? We must mention another piece of confusion about the destination of the non-Christian. There are some who say he's going nowhere. They say Christian believers, when they die, go to spend eternal life in heaven, but non-Christians will just be annihilated. They're going nowhere. When you die, that's it. But that is a lie as well. What then is the destination of unbelievers? Where will this journey take them when they die? It's very solemn. And no one would dare say this of their own accord. But we say this because the Lord Jesus Christ said it very, very clearly. When unbelievers die, their souls go to a place of punishment and remorse and eternal despair, a place called hell. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke more about this place than any other person in the whole of the Bible. Here it was who spoke of the rich man dying and going to hell, being in torment. Here it was who spoke of the unquenchable fire. Here it was who spoke of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Here it was who spoke of the goats on the left hand being condemned to a lost eternity. Here it was who spoke of the tares, the weeds being ripped up and thrown into the fire. Here it was who said, don't fear men who can just kill your body, but rather fear God who can cast both soul and body into hell. Jesus said that, not me. Jesus said that. How terrible that will be, but that is the destination of men and women who live their lives turning their backs on God and turning their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've said, I don't want God. They've said, I don't want Jesus. I'm happy as I am, living for myself. They will spend all eternity far away from God, and far away from everything that's good, in a place of punishment and woe. There are just two destinations. When we die, in a few years' time, we will journey to one or to the other. Can I ask, my dear friend, where will it be for you? When a few years are over, you'll go on a journey. Will it be to heaven, or will it be to hell? The world places a great deal of store upon where you've come from. Were you born of wealthy parents? Did you go to Eton? Did you go to Oxford? Where have you come from? But the Bible faces us with this question: where are you going to? Many of you may have heard of Matthew Henry, a famous Puritan Bible preacher who wrote a big commentary on the Bible. Well, his father, Philip Henry, fell in love with Catherine Matthews. But her parents objected to the proposed marriage. They were very wealthy landowners up there in Cheshire, but Philip Henry, whom their daughter wished to marry, came from an ordinary background. And they weren't very pleased about that. Our daughter going to marry a commoner. And so they said to her, this Philip Henry, he's not much of a fellow. Where does he come from? And Catherine gave her memorable reply, I don't know where he comes from, but I know where he's going, and I should like to go with him. She knew he was going to heaven. My friend, where are you going? We're not bothered where you come from, really. But we are bothered. Where are you going to when this world comes to an end? Let me go on to underline that this is a one-way journey. Did you notice what Job says? The journey of no return. The journey of no return. When you go to the railway station to buy a ticket for a journey, they ask you, do you want a single or a return? Normally, we ask for a return because we want to come back home. I've booked a return flight to Yangon because I want to come home. But this journey at the end of life is a one-way journey. It's the way of no return. You won't be coming back. Job says, after a few years are finished, I shall go on the journey of no return. In other words, when we die, we go to our eternal destiny and we remain there forever and forever. There's no coming back. There's no such thing as reincarnation. There's no such thing as a second chance, coming back for a second chance. The Bible knows nothing about that. When we die, we go to our eternal destiny and we remain there forever. The bliss of God's kingdom or the woe of hell. There's a solemn warning there, isn't there, for the non-Christian? My dear friend, when you die, you'll make the journey to this place of eternal remorse and emptiness, and you'll stay there forever and forever and forever. No chance of coming back for a second go. Can I say this? You will long and yearn to do so. You will say, if only I could go back to the earth and have another chance to hear the gospel. If only I could go back to that Amyang Park Chapel and hear that gospel once more. If only I could return and hear that preacher. I believe. I plead with God to save me. If only I could go back. When I was there, those years ago, I dismissed all that was said. When I was there years ago, I forgot all about the gospel. I thought I'd live my own life, my own way. I ignored what was said. Oh, but if only I could go back. If only I could go back. But it's a journey of no return. No second chance. I say this very carefully, but there are people in hell tonight who would give anything come back to this chapel or some other chapel and hear the gospel once more so that they might believe. But there's no return. Once there, there forever. It's a solemn thing for the non-Christian, but there's great comfort here for those who are Christians. When we die, we will journey to our eternal destiny in heaven, and we will never return to the sinful, fallen world. It's a world of evil and violence. It's a world of lust and sorrow and sickness and sadness. And once we've left it, we will never return to it. We will live in that new and glorious realm forever and forever. I go further. We will not even wish to return. Often when we go on a journey in this life, we long to get back home, don't we? We enjoy being away for a while, but there's no place like home. So we long to get home. But Christian friends, when we have taken our leave of this world and gone on this great journey to glory, there'll be no desire whatsoever to return to this world. Because that realm to which we're going will be a realm where there is no war, no want, no wickedness, no sorrow, no sickness, no suffering. It will be a realm of sheer perfection. And it will be a realm where the Lord Jesus Christ is in all his glory and splendor. And we'll be there forever and forever. So we've seen the destination. We've seen it's a journey of no return. Let me go on to say this. It'll be a journey without any luggage. We need to be clear about that. Normally when we go on a journey of any distance, we take some luggage with us, a suitcase, at least a briefcase, and some money in our wallets, and the checkbook, and a banker's card, and so on. But when we die and take our leave of this world and journey to our eternal destiny, we'll not be able to take anything with us. Paul puts it like this in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. One old Puritan preacher said, there are no pockets in a shroud. Nowhere you can put your wallet. Nowhere where you can put your banker's card. Nowhere where you can put your stocks and shares. Nowhere where you can put your building society deposit book. No pockets in your shroud. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can take nothing else. That is why it's so foolish to live for the things of this world. All around us we see men and women literally living for their possessions. Saw that horrendous picture, didn't we, on Black Friday, as they called it. It was a Black Friday too. Those terrible pictures of people fighting in order to get their hands on a television set. What a mad world this is. When people in other countries are dying of starvation, and people in the West fight to get their hands on a television set. They're living for their possessions. When we leave this world on this journey, we take nothing with us. No baggage whatsoever. At railway stations years ago, there used to be a left luggage department. You could leave any luggage there that you didn't want to take on the journey. There'll be a lot of left luggage when we leave this world. By all means, my friend, enjoy your possessions. By all means, enjoy those things which God has given you. But don't live for them. Don't make a god of them. Because you've got to leave them all behind one day. That computer you idolize. Got to leave it behind one day. All those beautiful bits of machinery that you idolize. Got to leave them all behind one day. that lovely car that you polish so well, got to leave it behind one day. It's a journey with no baggage. Have you got a nice home? Well, thank God for it and use it for His glory. Have you got a nice car? Thank God for it. But use it for His glory and don't live for it. Then, fourthly, it's a journey to our eternal destiny. It's a journey of no return. It's a journey with no baggage. It's also a journey whose starting time is unknown to us, uncertain. With most journeys on earth, you can have some idea of the departure time. Even if you're traveling by British Rail, you can have a guess at the departure time. But none of us knows the time and the date of our departure on this journey out into eternity. Job says, when a few years are over, I'll go. But he couldn't be more precise than that. He didn't know. And none of us knows when we'll be called upon to take this journey out into eternity. We may think we have many years left. We may feel hale and hearty today, good for many years to come. It may be this very day that we're summoned to make this journey out into eternity. How morbid, you say. How morbid. Yeah, but I've been in the ministry long enough and have taken enough funerals to know that's just how it is. Just how it is. I remember meeting with a group of young people many years ago on the first Sunday of the new year. We met after the church evening service for a young people's fellowship, and we discussed the passage of Scripture together. And at the end of the discussion, we asked the young people to pick out one verse in that passage of Scripture which they would like to remember all throughout the year. There were some 30 young people there, and amazing that they all were unanimous in the verse that they picked. And the verse that they picked was this, 2 Kings 20 verse 1 was the passage. 2 Kings 20 verse 1, it seemed a strange verse. Set your house in order, for you will die. The young people chose that as the verse to remember throughout the year. Set your house in order, for you will die. Seems so strange, a verse for young people to choose. But we all knew why a few days later. Because a few days later, one of those young people, unexpectedly, after playing a game of rugby, dropped down and died. That event spoke to them more than any sermon I ever preached. One Puritan said, death is a great preacher. And so it is. Because sometimes it comes so suddenly. I once took 2 funerals in 1 week. First funeral on Monday was for a woman of 103. The second funeral on Friday was for a boy of 13. None of us knows when this journey will begin. Just a few years, says Joe, but he couldn't be more exact than that. None of us can give the date when God will call us to start this journey out into eternity. So it's a journey to our eternal destiny, heaven or hell. It's a journey of no return. It's a journey with no luggage. It's a journey whose starting time is unknown. Then lastly, most importantly, it's a journey for which we must prepare. If you're traveling somewhere by car, you prepare, don't you? You fill the car with petrol, you check the oil, you set the sat-nav. You look at the details on the map to make sure you know where you're going. If you're traveling by coach or train, you prepare. You buy a ticket. And maybe you reserve a seat. You prepare for any journey. You do all you can to make sure that you arrive in the right place at the right time. How can we make sure that we will arrive safely in heaven when we die? Many people go hopelessly wrong at this point. Many people say, well, there's no need to make any preparation at all. They never think about death. They never think of where they will spend eternity. They're so busy living for the things of this world that they never even think about preparing to die and go on this journey. How tragic that is. If they go to France for a holiday, they prepare for that. But they never think about preparing for this journey into eternity. It's madness. Imagine hoping to go on holiday to France, but not bothering to book the airfare, or not bothering to book the ferry, or the train ticket through the tunnel. I'm hoping to go to France on holiday, but you make no preparation for it. That's madness. You hope to go to heaven when you die, but you make no preparation for it. That is sheer madness. God save us from that. There are other people who think they have no need to prepare. They think they've got a right to go to heaven. They say, well, my parents were Christians. My father was a preacher, and my mother was a Sunday school teacher, and they took me to church every Sunday, made me go to Sunday school. Of course I'll go to heaven when I die. No need for me to make preparation. I'm sure to go to heaven. I've always been a good fellow. I've always been a good girl. I'm sure to go to heaven. But you're not, my friend. None of us is good enough for heaven. And all our church attendance will not earn us a place in heaven. And the fact that your mother or father was a fine, fine Christian will not earn you a place in heaven. Thank God for Christian parents. To be brought up in a Christian family is a very, very great privilege. My dear wife was brought up in a godless family, and she will tell you that to be brought up in a Christian family where they tell you about Jesus and where they have a Bible is a very, very great privilege. But that doesn't guarantee you a place in heaven. How do we prepare to make this journey to heaven? There's only one way. That is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To journey to heaven when we die, we must have a special pass. A pass provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. A pass purchased by him. And when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he opened the way for men and women like us to go to heaven. When he died upon the cross, he paid the punishment of our sin. He paid the price for our sin. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives all our sin and makes it possible for us to go to heaven when we die. He is the only way by which we can get to heaven. Jesus said on one occasion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You say, well, I'm very religious. Not enough, my friend. You say, I'm interested in Buddhism. No good, my friend. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You must trust in him. You must ask him to be your Savior. You must ask him to cleanse away your sin. You must ask him to give you his righteousness in order that you may go to heaven when you die. That hymn which we sang a little while ago sums it up, doesn't it? There is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear. And life, with its best hopes then, as nothingness appear. There is an hour when I must stand before the judgment seat. And all my sins and all my foes in awful vision meet. There is an hour when I must look on one eternity. A nameless woe or blissful life my endless portion be. What's your response to that? What's your response? O Saviour, then in all my need, be near to me, and let my soul by steadfast faith find life and heaven in thee. Or another hymn puts it so well, abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away, change and decay in all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. He's your only Saviour, my friend. He's the only one who can open up the way for you to go to heaven when the time comes for you to go on this journey of no return. Make preparation now before it's too late.